All right, let me get everything like I like. When you pamper me, I do better. Amen. How about this young man over here? Man, you've been bouncing and jumping all over the place. I'm my black brother. Every church I go to, camp or conference, I always look around to try to find the crazy person. There's always a crazy person in every church or congregation that just lays everything down and goes haywire for Jesus. Praise God. Blessed be the Lord our God. All right, I was going to read a scripture if I can find whichever one it was. All right. All right. In the morning early, I get up and fly home. I have got to, unfortunately, tonight I got to preach from my iPad. I hate to do that. I hardly ever do that. I usually print it out and then print it out, but I didn't have any printing machine here. And I have a unique thought tonight, and I don't know if it's going to be a mess or what. I'm very modest about this. I got this morning at 4:38 from the Lord. He woke me up at 4:38 and gave me these things to say tonight. God spoke to me a lot of times at 3 and 4 in the morning. I'm going to ask him, would he start talking to me at 9 and 10? Since he is eternal, the Bible said the Lord that keeps Israel does not slumber nor sleep, nor he's not sleeping. Amen. I am. But I just feel, and I never preach anywhere that I just take something like this off the top and go for it. I usually do reruns. But this is what I woke up at 4:38. I checked my watch, the clock on my phone. It said 4:38. And then I slept a little longer and got up. But I wanted to talk to you about this. And this is what I feel. If it turns out bad, you can say, see there, he missed God that time of the day anyway. I would like you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Verse number 12. Mark 11, 12. That's in the New Testament, if you're not sure. That's right, it's on page 1060. I was hoping everybody get to shouting, falling out, and getting drunk in the Holy Ghost and running out around the parking lot. And then we could all go home. Amen. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Let's ask God to bless his word tonight. Everybody pray with me. God, in your name, I'm asking you tonight to give me the strength in my body and let my mind work tonight to say the things that would be pleasing to you, to bring any kind of blessing I can to this audience. In Jesus' mighty name, I need you, Jesus. Yes, I do, Lord. Lord, this is a good time to help me. I ask you to help my mind and my spirit. Praise God. Everybody raise your hands and say, bless tonight, Lord, your word. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you. I am not going to hold you long tonight. No reason for that. And if I get to where I don't think I'm doing any good, I'm going to let you go a lot earlier than you think. Praise God. Now, this is a crazy lesson tonight I'm going to talk to you about. And my very outset is going to be weird. I know it is. 4:38 this morning, I woke up, and this is what God was talking to me about, that sometimes people miss an opportunity to meet a need, and it's shocking, but sometimes we don't discern what the need is. There is a problem we have in relationships. And I heard the story about a man who had a woodpecker kept banging on his house. He got up one morning, went out, and shot the woodpecker. On his way back in, he fell through the floor of his house. The termites had eaten the bottom of his house out. He missed the mark, not knowing what he should do. Sometimes we address the wrong need or miss the need all totally. Sometimes the problem is not the woodpecker, it's the termites. The termites do a whole lot more damage than the woodpecker pounding away. And it matters so much that some way there's a sharpening of our spiritual touch that we come to understand what is important. George Barna said in his book, The User-Friendly Church, he made this statement, powerful statement. Ministry happens when needs are met. If you don't meet a need, you're not ministering. Somebody said, I preach good and I sang good. If you didn't meet a need, you're not ministering. You can preach good and sing good, but if you don't meet a need, it ain't mattering. Praise God. Jesus said, blessed is the man that when his Lord shall so come, shall find him so doing. And that's a unique statement. Blessed is that man when his Lord comes, finds him so doing. When God comes to get his church, he's got to find us doing what? Meeting needs, looking around, meeting needs of our husband, our wife, our children, our church, our pastor, our congregation. There are so many times people miss the whole moment and they don't understand. Right now, I must meet a need. And sometimes there are tragic consequences of people missing the moment that something great should happen, that they should do something. And so I'm asking God all the time in my life. Years ago when I started preaching, I never asked God to make me a good preacher, and he didn't, as you can tell. But I did ask God to make me effective and use me. Every time I go to church to preach now, I don't take it for granted. I've been accused of being rude and arrogant, and I am sometimes a little rude, but I'm not arrogant. But the fact is, I do know sometimes to stand before God, you have to be strong in the face of the enemy. Sometimes it's interpreted as arrogance. If you back away, it won't be long till everybody will have their way, and soon you'll be without God. Sometimes somebody's got to stand up and challenge the hour and challenge the moment. Sometimes the head of a house, a good husband or a good father, has to stand up and challenge the powers of hell that comes against his household. And you may not like his tone or his strength, but you got to understand, anybody that saves anybody today has got to have a fighting spirit about them. Amen, amen. The devil is against this church. He's against the family. He's against marriages. He's against your children. And if you give him a little foot in the door, he's going to take over the whole house. And somebody has to stand up and say to the devil, no, this is not yours. Amen. Sometimes a husband and a father has got to stand up and tell his sons, we're going to church. We're going to worship God. You're not going to ride around the block tonight and sound that hot car off. You're going to drive it right to the house of God. And sometimes you got to tell your daughter, you don't have to get on the team of all these people, young people doing their thing. You ain't got to sit on the back pew and play peach me with your boyfriend. That's not what you need to do. Sometimes you got to have a strong voice to say, the need is such. And I see sometimes people spend their time killing the woodpecker. That's the title of my lesson if you're going to get it tonight. Killing the woodpecker. Sometimes the woodpecker's not our problem. Sometimes it's that unseen something that's moving, that's chewing away at the foundation of your walk with God. Sometimes you got to stand up and say, I'm going to have good church no matter what. Sometimes your body says, I don't want to clap. You tell your hands you're going to clap. Come on, you tell your feet you're going to dance. Sometimes you got to tell your body you're going to joy in the Lord. So blessed is that man when the Lord comes, finds him so doing. It's not enough to be doing just something. Just like if you were to leave town and you hire somebody to come in there, you're going to paint my garage. And when you come back home from a four-day trip, you find out the garage wasn't painted. And then you look out there and the man painted the barn. And he says, I'm ready for my pay. You say, there is no pay. I didn't hire you to paint the barn. I hired you to paint the garage. Blessed is that man when his Lord comes, finds him doing what he told him to do, meeting the need. And somebody said, well, I did this. That wasn't what you were supposed to be doing. The Bible said he called us out of darkness into this marvelous light that we may show forth his praises. The Greek word praises there is power, that we may show forth his praises, his strength, his power. You're here to show folks God can change people. You're here to show folks today you don't come to the church join the church, get a bumper sticker in the New Testament for your pocket, and stick something on your bumper and run around, and you're fine. That's not what it's all about. We don't believe in a flimsy come to Jesus, shake a preacher's hand. We believe in death, burial, and resurrection, faith, repentance, baptism in his name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. And everybody needs to go home tonight, tomorrow. I told you tonight when you leave, look at the sky and the universe out here. Listen to it talk to you about God. If somebody pulls up beside you, you're standing there looking up there, and they'll say, what are you doing? You said, oh, I'm listening to the universe. Talk to me. They're going to think you're kind of wacky till you explain to them. The heavens declare. Listen, sir, listen to me. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's right. The firmament show forth his handiwork. Nobody can build a universe like God. God knows what he's doing, and he is God. And sometimes you have to stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself, you're going to worship the Lord, speaking to yourselves in psalms, songs, spiritual songs, and making melody, plucking stringed instruments, this is the Greek there, plucking stringed instruments and praising God. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, you're going to bless this church tonight. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And it matters so much that we understand that when God comes to us for his church, we've got to understand that we was up there meeting needs. When you worship around here like you did this morning and tonight, you're meeting a need. You're blessing the Lord with your presence. Not only that, you're blessing a pastor. Pastor needs to be blessed. Sometimes people say, I just told the pastor how good he preached. Sometimes it ain't just saying how good you preach. Sometimes it's walking out and living what was preached. Sometimes you have to say, that was good enough for me to go out and live. A restaurant owner does not want you to tell him how good the food is. He wants you to come back the next time and eat again. And that's what a minister wants you to do. Don't just tell me how good I done. Go out and live what I said. That's what it's all about. Praise God. That's how we meet needs. And so sometimes you have to look at it. When the devil invades a family, wrecks a marriage, goes after your kids, you got to stand up sometime. And I read this out of a book I read the other day. It said this. Sometimes you have to have a Popeye moment. Popeye was that crazy guy that he had that crazy girl, skinny, puny looking thing, bless her heart. And there was this big old weird looking guy always chasing her. She's always getting in trouble. Popeye could have saved the world if he didn't have to save her 10,000 times. Amen. But he would have come to this one point. Sometimes he would get so tired of what this crazy Pluto was doing. I think that was his name. Oh, this was a long time ago when I was a kid, 40 years ago. And he said, I can't stand it anymore. Sometimes you got to stand up and say, I just can't stand it anymore. Come on, the devil can't have my family. He can't have my daughter. He can't have my son. I'm going to rise up and say, I can't stand it anymore. Come on, come on. Sometimes you got to be able to, and I told you God gave me this morning. It may not go good tonight, but I'm going to scream it out the best I can. I've lost my ability to scream, so if you don't like my screaming, stand up and scream for me one time. Amen. And sometimes you look around and you got to say, I just can't stand it anymore. My wife and I is here. My kids, I don't know where in the name of common sense they are. I can't stand it anymore. Next time they have a Saturday morning prayer meeting, I'm going to go in there and spend that 1 hour saying, save Johnny, save Susie, save them today, God. Wherever they are, get into their world some way, invade their world right now. Let them get tired of all this other junk in their life. Let them get hungry for you, God. I can't stand it anymore. I want my whole row filled with my kids, my children when they get married, and my grandkids. I want them absorbed with this. Praise be unto God. Meeting a need. Sometimes we get this Gideon syndrome. Gideon was hiding out, and the angel of the Lord said, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. Now, he was a mighty man of valor, a great fighter. But the Lord wasn't with him. It didn't matter. God had to get with him and help him. And he kept having doubts and second thoughts. And he kept running from the situation. Sometimes we got this Gideon syndrome. I can't do it. I can't be what I need to be. You can be. Once you get in touch with God, you would be surprised how you can meet a need. Once you get in touch with once you get sensitive to the presence of God, you'd be surprised how that you could say the right thing, say the right prayer, and do the right thing, and understand just how important it really is. That's why Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. And when nobody else would go, he stood up and they touched his tongue with the coals off the altar. And he said, woe is me. He realized his own inadequacies. Everybody here is inadequate. But sometimes that becomes our focal point. I am inadequate. Don't ask me. I can't do it. Yes, you can. You need to quit being comfortable with not doing what you could do for God. I've known some people never get healed. They never get healed because they're comfortable with being sick. Nobody overcomes anything they're comfortable with living with. When I've had sickness in my body, I made up my mind the first thing I was going to do is hate my heart attack and hate my stroke. I would say to myself, I hate this stroke. I hate it. I hate having this stroke. And I went through an ordeal there. And I know people think they're trying to help you, and sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. I would try to preach, and I would stubborn. There were so many problems I was having. And people say, no, you're doing fine. Don't worry about it. It's not like that. It's not like that. You don't understand. My brain, I could look down at notes and get them in my brain and get them to my mouth. I couldn't get them out. I didn't have the energy in here to get them out. There was something disconnected. Somebody says, don't worry about it. It ain't a matter of worrying about it. It's a matter there's a gap there. Huh? It's what I would call a glitch. Huh? I think Catherine Sebelius and President Obama took us to a new level on the glitch. There are glitches. And I was having a glitch. And I had people say, don't, oh, you sound, no, I said, I'm not fine. You don't know how much I struggle. I fight for this. I don't even know if my preaching is sloppy. I kept wondering if God, about a month ago, I prayed to God, if you want me to quit preaching and stop till I get well, I'll just shut it down and quit. I was sincere. I prayed to God. I had people say, no, you're doing better than you think you are. I said, if I'm doing good at all, I'm doing better than I think I am. And I had so many gaps in my voice, my language, I couldn't grab my thoughts. Everything I did, I didn't have the ability to clap without telling myself to clap. I couldn't walk without telling my feet to move. And I was dealing with so many things, and people would play it down like it's nothing to worry about. It wasn't anything to worry about. I'm used to doing nothing but standing up and declaring the word of God, laying hands on the sick, and here I am out of commission and out of touch. And there was a lady in my church. She saw my need. I talked to her one day. I said, Suzanne, my preaching is horrible and I know it. Every time I start preaching, the devil is telling me, or the flesh or something is telling me, these people want you to hurry up and realize you're old and you've lost it. It's time to get through, sit down and be quiet. She said, Brother Davis, that's just the devil, or that's you talking to yourself. She said, that's not how it is. I said, that's what I feel. You don't understand the wall I have to press through. But she sensed I had a need. And she did more than talk about it. Now, this was a risk and a half. She brought a CD to church. She said, this is your CD you preached the other Sunday morning. She said, I bought it, listened to it over and over, and I want you to listen to it. I said, Suzanne, I've never listened to myself. And now that I can't preach, I don't want to listen to me. She said, Brother Davis, I beg you, please listen to it. And I took it home and started listening to it, put it in the car and listened to it. And when I was hearing myself, I started sobbing. I realized I wasn't doing near as bad as I was. That I was connecting my words, that I was doing some good, and it helped me so much. The fact that she rose up to meet a need. Let me tell you something. There's somebody in your family right now that's crying out to you, I got a need. There's nothing any worse than people decide, if you got a need, I'll meet it, but you don't meet the need. What you do is you concoct in your mind, this is your need. Let me tell you something. You can't do that. If you're going to help a wife or a husband or a child, you can't sit around and concoct in your mind, this is your need. Sometimes you got to have God to tell you. If you're not careful, you'll kill a woodpecker and the termites is going to eat it all away. You can't do that. Sometimes God has got to tell you what to say. I have talked to people and I said, God, this person needs help and I don't know if I'm the man to help them or not. There's a philosophy I've always used in counseling people. Number one, I ask the first question, what is the need? Number two, what are you doing about your need? Number three, what does you want me to do about the need? When you understand that little premise and operate from that, you'd be surprised who you can help. One day I had a lady come by the church to talk to me. She asked my secretary, could I talk to Brother Davis, the pastor here? She come in and said, there's a lady here in the office just dropped by, wants to talk to you. I said, I don't know if I can help her. I don't even know the lady. She's not in the church, not baptized in Jesus' name, doesn't have the Holy Ghost. And she said, she's crying. She really needs help. I've never been able to watch people cry and be broken. I've never had the ability to walk. I've had people tell me, I had a man passed away. His wife was a great leader in our church, a great saint of God. He said, your problem is you think you can save everybody. I said, no, that's not my problem. And that's not what I think. But I don't know how to turn a deaf ear to a broken heart, a wounded spirit. I don't know how to let someone hurt and walk away and not at least do something. I've never been able to do that. And it's got me into more problems than anything else. And I walked in and sat down. I said, ma'am, I don't know you. And I really don't know if I can help you or not. She said, I need help. She was sobbing. She said, my son and his wife is falling apart. Their life is. And she said, I want to help them. And I don't know what to say. Am I wasting my time with y'all tonight? Is anything all right? She said, I need help. I said, okay, what is the problem? And she told me what the problem they was having. I said, what are you doing about it? She said, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I said, here's where you made your mistake. I said, the mistake you have made, if you've taken their problem and solved their problem, it's not your problem to solve, it's theirs. You go home and tell them, what do y'all want me to do to help y'all get through what you're getting through right now? And she quit crying and her face lit up like a light bulb in it. She started smiling, quit crying, said, I want you to know you heal me today. You help me. You know, the fact is, somebody you love right now has a need. They really have a need. And you've sat back and you've been addressing the wrong need. Because you're afraid to meet the challenge, to pray. But they're fighting something in their soul. They're hurting. They're in anguish. Let me tell you something, folks. This is real. Things I've learned. Emotional pain is as real as any pain you have. And they just don't have a pain. You ain't got a pain. Take this pill every 6 hours and you're emotionally okay. Now, they'll give you something to drug you up and make you half wacko. I remember when I was in pain, the doctor gave me a pill. I had a kidney stone. That's rough. Anybody here ever had the kidney stone? Thank you. I'm glad you had. I ain't glad you had it, but at least somebody's had to understand. Is it real pain? I remember the doctor come in and he had me on something as high as a kite. He said, Reverend, how you doing? I said, really, doctor, I'll tell you the truth. If I knew drugs could make you this feel this good, I don't know if I'd have been preaching so hard against them. I'm feeling great right now. Amen. Amen. But the fact is, the challenge to meet somebody's emotional need. A young girl told me one time, her mother, she reached out to her mother to help her. And her mother said, you know you're the most beautiful girl in this church. And she said, I am going to put you through college. I'm buying you a new car this summer. She said, you keep missing the point. I'm not wanting a car. I'm not wanting to be told I'm beautiful. I'm not the most beautiful person. What I'm wanting you to do is put your arms around me and say, I love you. Just tell me you love me. Everybody can say amen. And sometimes what happens is we miss the point. We miss that point to step up to the plate. I got husbands here, and I don't know anything. Nobody's told me anything. There are husbands here tonight. Your wife hurts. And if you could pray and get close to God, God would say, this is where the pain is. This is what you could do. We got men here. And you say, men are ego. Men are eat up with ego. Amen. When a man gets lost on the road, he don't admit he's lost. His wife takes up for him. She said, well, he found a new way to go. But the fact is, men hurt too. Sometimes there's pain and they don't like to talk about it. But a woman that prays and listens to God says, my husband needs something. He needs something from me. And sometimes people have this problem of recognizing a need and meeting the need. Being a husband and wife between children, I'm trying to cover all the bases tonight in this. And I just got this up 4:30 this morning. I guess it was God. I think it was. Thank you, sir. Who said that? Who said that? Raise your hand. I like you, guy. You're a good guy. Way to go. Man, you ought to get an increase. Whatever they pay you around here, they need to double it. Amen. Thank you. Amen. You said amen to that, didn't you? Amen. Everybody say praise God. There is so many people sometimes that reaches out for some people. I knew a couple that ran through marital problems and their marriage liked to end it. And when tragedy hit it, I was talking with her and she said, I've been so good to him. I've done this. And she was wailing. She was sincere. I've done this to him when he was sick. I've done this. I've done this. She kept on saying this. And he kept saying, but I kept begging you to do this for me, to help me. And she never even got the point. She never did get it. 19 years of marriage and she never got the point. Sometimes we address deeds that are not so real. Sometimes we're deaf and dumb to things. And we don't understand that someone is crying out for something. The ability of someone to meet a need, it is so incredibly important. Praise God. Whether it's in the church, in a marriage, or in your children. And if you haven't understood that yet, you need to. You don't need to have kids till you're ready to sit down and meet their need. Their needs are many. One thing, if you got a child that backslides, don't alienate them. Don't ever alienate them. I don't care how much sin they got. Don't ever be ashamed to speak to them. And never be ashamed to introduce, this is my daughter. She don't look like she's saved, but that's still my daughter. That's still my son. He don't look like he's been saved, but that's my son. You don't never alienate them. Don't you ever be that dumb. Don't ever do that. If you don't love them, nobody's going to love them but the devil. And the devil's got time for your kids. When you ain't got time for them, the devil's got time for your children. Everybody say, praise God. And Jesus looked at the fig tree and he wanted to get some fruit off of it because he was hungry. It couldn't meet his need. It had leaves on it. In that part of the world, that particular fig tree, the fruit come first and then the leaves came afterwards. What Jesus looked at, there was no figs there. So the leaves were saying to him, I got fruit on here. And he reached up there was no fruit, and he cursed it. He took it serious. When you're going to say, I've got something, then you better have it. He'll curse you. He'll curse things. Some people are so without the blessing of God, they don't understand why. You was called on to stand up to the plate, to say something and do something, and you couldn't do it. You wimped out. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. And if you say, I'm like that tonight, then in the altar service, it'd be a good time to repent. Say, God, the next time I'm faced with something from my wife or my husband or my child or my church, I'm not going to wimp out on it. I'm going to stand up. If I can't do the best, I'm not going to be like Gideon and have a syndrome. I can't do it. Yes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There is a power in a man that wants to yield to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. That ability to discern a need, it's so important. I've spent my whole life. Years ago, I met a man. He died probably 6 weeks ago. Ray Majors, one of the greatest men I ever knew. And I was with him years ago and preaching for him. And I watched him operate one night on a Saturday night church when I was preaching for him. There was a family in the church, their daughter, granddaughter, had just got in a car wreck and hurt somebody bad. And we went by after church to talk to the family. And the girl was sitting there sobbing like a baby. I saw him walk over, sit down by her. And he said, I'm here to talk to you to help you. And I listened to everything he said. I never seen a heart reach out to help someone that wasn't even in the church. I saw him help her. I saw her feelings ease up. I saw her pain lift. I saw her rallying all of a sudden. I walked out of that place that night and I said, God, if I ever pastor a church, give me that ability to look at someone hurting and heal their hurt. If I see someone broken, give me that ability to heal that brokenness in Jesus' name. And I have fought my whole life to do that. I have been rebuked by so many people and so many things about thinking I can do all things. I don't think I can do anything. I got so many limits and I am embarrassed about my limits. But I do know one thing. I'm not deaf to needs. I have made up my heart to stand up and meet anything I can. And I've taken on battles that wasn't mine. It like to destroy me. And I have been taken to court and sued and God knows what all. Because I saw a need there and I thought I could meet this need. And I go at it because I think there's nothing any greater than someone among us that will rise up and say, I can meet a need. Come on, when you see me waving my hands in the air and saying hallelujah, when you see me down here on Sunday night dancing up and down, I don't only just dance, I can meet a need. I can go out and talk to someone that's hurting and I can help them. I can see a lost man, I can talk to him. I can talk to him. Don't tell me you can't teach a Bible study. Praying people can teach a Bible study. I get an attitude about a generation that can get on Facebook and Twitter and all about all of this and say, I can't teach a Bible study. Of course you can. Anybody that can get on Facebook and use a computer can teach a Bible study. And I know I've taught a lot of them. The year I had my heart attack, I was teaching about 8 that year. And I do it with a computer, put it on a screen, and sit there and talk to them. And when I come back and started getting well, I tried to finish them up. I did finish most of them up, and I was having problems even thinking and talking. Things wasn't making any sense. I was jumbling my words and going through things until Suzanne was so great to give me the CD. And she asked me, did you listen to it? I said, yeah, I appreciate it. I said, I never listen to myself preach. I can't stand to hear myself preach. I can't stand it. But I know that night it helped me realize that I was getting healed when I didn't realize I was being healed. God was helping me when I didn't realize I was being helped. I'm able to stand up and talk to you tonight. Just a few weeks ago, I could not stand up and talk without losing my place, quoting a scripture. I couldn't find the scripture in my mind. I knew it was right there, but I couldn't locate it. I would try to sing a song, but I couldn't get the words. I would just stand there and cry. God, I want to sing how great you are. I want to sing this song. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. God, I want to sing it, but I can't get those words. Help me, Jesus. Fill my mind and my heart once again with these things. And then when someone stands up, meets your need, you'll realize the importance of someone. Someone says, I got a great talent for singing. The greatest talent you can have is meeting a need. If you're going to have leaves, have some fruit. Come on. If you're going to profess it, be able to stand up. Look at your child in the eye and say you're going to get through. I've looked at my kids when they've gone through hell. I had one son years ago had a problem. He said, Dad, do you love me? I said, yes, I do. He said, do you forgive me? I said, of course I do. Yes, I'm happy to forgive you. And today he is living so good for God, doing so great. He's a police officer, doing so good. He is singing, praying, worshiping. He's praying hours at a time. He's gone through quite an ordeal, but God has said, I was so glad to stand up and say, no, we're going to get through this thing. I saw something years ago when my son Trey, he had cancer. I was in there the day when the doctor said, you got Hodgkin's lymphoma. You got a tumor in your chest the size of a basketball. And I remember that doctor saying this. I've never forgot it. He said, young man, you're going to be up against a battle, but I'm your doctor, and I'm going to be fighting for you all the way. I'm going to be with you all this. He said this, you're not going to bear this burden alone. And it matters so much than sometime when someone says to somebody else, you're not going to bear this burden alone. God heal my son. He's got two great sons. He's now pastoring the World of Faith, where I pastored for many years. He's a great preacher and a great teacher. Maybe sometime you'll get to hear him, but whatever, Trey's great. And I remember one day I was so overwhelmed. I'm fixing to get emotional. I apologize about it. I am getting emotional right now, but I went through an ordeal one day. I was sobbing. I was thanking God for healing my son so much. And I had several reports where people called and said they had a husband or a child or a grandchild dying with cancer. And I went to the house that day, got on the sunroom in the back porch on the sunroom, got my book down, looked up phone numbers, and I called everyone I could think of. I called them from North Dakota, Kansas, Colorado, Louisiana. I would say, you don't know me, and I don't really know you, but they told me your child, your grandchild is sick with cancer. And I have a son that's been healed, and he's not healed because I'm so righteous or he's so righteous. That's not what it's all about. God was gracious to my family, and I want you to know I'm down praying for you right now. I know you're hurting so bad. I know you're hurting so bad. I may never meet you, but I'm praying for you right now for God to give you a miracle. And I'm not a great man by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm telling you what God talked to me about this morning in my soul. People who can stand to the plate and say, hey, you're not going to bear this burden alone. You're not going to go through this war by yourself. I am a warrior. I know how to pray. I know how to believe God. I know how to do it. I had a man talking to me one day. He said this. He was fixing to leave our church as a minister and go somewhere to, quote, to do something for God. They had never done anything at our church. I said, here's what's going to happen to you, Chuck. I told him several things. When I got through talking to him, I was trying to meet his need to help him, and he missed the mark. He said, Brother Davis said, you have destroyed my faith. I said, Chuck, if facts destroy your faith, you had no faith. You have faith because regardless of the facts. Facts don't always support faith. Well, the word of God is what supports your faith. And I said, you're going to lose everything. Well, he went anyway. He started a church, bought a land, bought a building. We put a lot of money in it, bought pews. We did all kinds of things for him. After a while, his marriage fell apart. He was divorced. He left the ministry. Everything fell apart. His kids are all messed up right now. So many sad things happened to him. I remember one day I saw his daughter. She was out in the yard of our church talking to her mom and dad, and she was screaming and stomping her foot. I still see her right now. I said, "Were you talking unkind to your parents?" She said, "No." She said, "I was telling them, why didn't you 7 years ago listen to Brother Davis when he told you what he told you? Why didn't you look at us? We're torn apart. We're scattered all over the place. Our lives are so wrecked. Why didn't you listen to the man of God?" You know, when you got a need, you got to let someone tell you about it and address it. Everybody say, "Praise God." You have to. I don't know if I'm using this right because I don't know anything about a computer or not. But sometimes I think when they try to hack things in a computer, they have to get through firewalls. Am I correct on this? Anybody know if I'm right or not? And they, some of us in this place tonight, we got so many firewalls. It takes God and the preacher forever to get into our world to tell us. We've got ourselves so blocked off. Sometimes we can't get enough faith in there to get healed. And I'm not making fun of anybody's sickness. I don't do that. I know sickness is real. But I'm also knowing sometimes we build in so many protections. I don't want to, you know, one thing people don't understand about prayer. The only people who pray are the helpless, inadequate. People that don't realize their helplessness and their inadequacy, they're not going to pray. "I've got it all in control." No, you don't. Sometimes something small and insignificant can wrap your world and mess your world up. But somebody, when a preacher tries to talk to you about something, break down the firewall. Whatever you do on a computer, do it in your own life. Let his words get in there. Let his words get in there to you. Everybody ought to clap and say amen to that. If you're a saint in this church, you can do that. Do it right now. That's right. It matters so much. Yes, it does. There was a woman in the Bible. It's overwhelming. Her name was Rizpah. And I used to preach about her until one day I got to studying how old she was. And I figured her age, she was somewhere around 78 to 85 years old. And because of the sins of Saul, the Gibeonites, Israel was suffering. And God told David, "It's because of the sins of Saul." And the Gibeonites come to David and say, "We need 7 sons or descendants," which turned out to be the grandsons of Saul. And they took the 7 sons of Saul, grandsons really. Rizpah, 2 of those 7 was hers. There was 5 others. Rizpah was a concubine of Saul. A concubine was not a bad woman back then. It was not an immoral thing. It was a woman that did not have first marriage rights. Her children did not get any benefits out of the marriage of royalty. And she said, but when they took those 7 sons and hung them in the tree and let the fowl of the air look at them and let them slowly die through the harvest, the Bible said Rizpah took a cloth and went there and got on a rock. She saw a need and she come up. And there are people in Pentecost everywhere. "I'm just too old to do anything for God." No, you're not. Get out of that mentality. That's a disgrace. That's wrong. Everybody say amen. And by night, she built a fire. And when the animals would scream and cry, coming after the smell of the dead bodies, the fire would keep them away. During the daytime, when the buzzards would come around, she would take the sackcloth and swing it and drive off the fowl of the air. For 4 months, this 80-year-old woman did this. This was not an Olympic runner. She was not a great tennis player or basketball. This was an old woman. She said, "There's a need." And they told her to come down. She said, "I'll not come down until they take them off these trees and give them a decent burial." And they told David, and he brought them down. Sometimes a person has got to say, "There is a need, and I'm going to stand up to the plate and do something about it." Amen. Anybody that's got to be begged to do something for God has never yet caught on what it's all about. We got to get rid of this self-focused mentality and get a God-focused mentality. Everybody say, "Praise God." The Bible said the children of Issachar had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do, and they stood up to do what needed to be done. There's 2 words in the medical world, iatrogenetic, nosocomial. It's 2 words. It means hospital or doctor related. The fact is 87,000 people 20 years ago in the New England Journal, it made the statement, this 87,000 people a year go in the hospital for one thing only to die of something else. They go in to get cured of one thing only to die of something else. That was years ago. Today it's worse than this. But now they have a lot more protective measures. What it is, sometimes doctor related, sometimes it's hospital related, medical related, and someone goes in for one thing only to catch something else. And sometimes you're in there addressing one need and you miss the main need and overlook it in someone's life. The pastor's wife was once put in this position. It's accidental, and nobody's putting down doctors or hospitals. I thank God for them. That's not what it's about. It's the fact is that sometimes you can overlook a need. Sometimes you can treat one thing that's not the need. Sometimes a wife, she can guess, this is what my husband needs. Have you ever thought about saying, what can I do to help you? You ever thought about saying, it's not a hard thing to say. But I don't want to face that challenge. Why not? Sometimes people need help. You can't complain that someone don't need me if you never offer yourself, I can do what you need. Just tell me what you need. A wife and a husband needs to have this type of communication. The Laodicean people said this. They said, we're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And Jesus was at the door knocking. If you hear my voice, open up and let me in. He said, you're wretched, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. You are not near what you think you are. You have a need that you don't even know what you have. You're neither hot nor cold, but if you were either one, but because you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. You got a need. Anytime Jesus is on the outside knocking, you got a need. It's time to open the door. Everybody understands, well, I've got a need. Sometimes a husband has to say to the wife, what can I do to help you through this deal in your life? Sometimes a mother has to talk with the children, sometimes a father has to talk with the kids and say, what can I do? I've done this with my kids numerous times. What can I do to help you? What do you need from me right now? What do you need from me right now? Because if you can meet a need, you're going to be blessed by God abundantly. It matters so much. But instead, we don't know what we're doing sometimes, and we're killing the woodpecker when the termites is eating everything away. We got to find out what we need to be doing for the church, for each other, for the ministry, for husband, wife, and family. When I was in rehab, and I hate to refer all this over and over to you, but when I was in the rehab, they told me to do things I didn't want to do. I fussed about it. I said, I don't want to do that. Well, you got to do it. I said, this is dumb. I don't want to do it. You got to do it. I remember I walked on the treadmill, and there was a black lady standing right by me, and she had this long stick. And I'd get to walking, and she'd hit the back of my left leg, said, pick that leg up, move it. You're dragging it. You hear that shh. Every time you move your foot, shh, you're dragging your cuffs. You're not picking your leg up. And I realized that. Since then, I have practiced that a little bit more. The other night, I walked into the house and didn't raise that left leg. I hit the door facing and went over head into it. Wham! Knocked myself crazy. And I remember then that lady hit me with that stick. She was trying to meet a need, and I had a firewall. No, I didn't want you to do that. I started exercising. I started doing things. I started on that breathing machine because I was strangling a lot of times. I was, did I say strangling? Did I say the right word? Yeah, I did. I would drink stuff and I could get strangled. But I realize now I started doing the things they was trying to get me to do. And I realize now they knew my need better than I knew it. And if someone tries to meet your need, don't you put up this facade. Don't put up this fakery. Quit being a mannequin. Don't do that. I got a need. Say this to God. Say it to the pastor, the pastor's wife. Whoever takes you on to nourish you and to help you. And says, if you're a new convert in this church, if you've got a friend in this church trying to help you grow, listen to them. They've walked the journey. They've been the distance. They've climbed the hill. They've fought the valley. They've fought the lion, the bear, the giant. They know what's next on the list. Open yourself up. Now, this psychological barrier we got, well, I don't need help. Yes, you do. Nobody, this helpless, I don't need help mentality is a step to breeding prayerlessness in your life. Never be ashamed to pray. I need God. I have prayed before God in the last 2.5 years. I said, God, I need you. I made this crazy statement to God. He got on to me about it. God, I need you more than you know. He said, no, I know everything. Don't say that to me. I know you need me. And so I would say, God, I need you. Forgive me for saying it wrong, but it's a habit, figure of speech. I need you, and you know I need you, and I'm begging you right now. I would sit in church and pray, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Oh, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Jesus, this load is so heavy. You got to help me, Lord. I used to get in the pulpit. It was like my second home. Then I went through the period the last 2 years that when I get ready to go preach, I was a nervous wreck. I was frightened. I'd walk up to the pulpit. I'd be shaking. I'd be nervous. I said, God, please, don't let me embarrass you and me. He said, you won't embarrass me. I can cover. But I knew what it was to stand up. And I tell people to pray for me. You don't need prayer. You're doing fine. No, I'm not joking. I'm serious. I need a lot of prayer. No, I'm not doing fine. I'm fighting my way out of this thing. Someone told Brother Mooney when he told him what had happened to me. He said, well, Brother Davis, and the preacher was talking to him in Indiana. I was supposed to have been there at a banquet, had to cancel. And that man said, if he comes through this, he's going to have to be a fighter. Brother Mooney paid me a comment. He said, he is a fighter. He's a real fighter, and he'll come through it. And you have to be a fighter. You have to be willing to let someone help you with your needs. I hurt. I need you, Jesus. Everybody here has got to get to the point, I'm willing to have help, and I'm willing to step up to the plate and help someone. Don't let your kids go to the world for help. Don't let your teenagers ask another teenager for help. They don't have the answer. The government doesn't have the answer. No, they don't. You and I got the answer. Come on, we know what this world needs. I know whom I have believed, that he's able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. If you're not careful, you'll spend your time killing the woodpeckers. All the time the termites is going to eat your world away. You don't want that. Address the right thing and let God help you. Everybody say amen. I don't know if I've did you any good tonight or not, but I spoke to you from my heart what I thought God gave me tonight. Oh, God, help me. Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. I know what it's like to have a need. I know what it's like to address people when you're hurting yourself. And you ain't got to be well to help somebody. You said, Brother Davis, I'd like to help somebody, but sometimes I got more problems than I know what to do with. That doesn't matter. Lose your focus on your own problem and get focused on God. And somebody, you see, I can meet your need and I can help you. You're going to get through your problems by the help and by the power of God. Praise God. Let me tell you a secret to help you get through difficulties. Are you still hearing me? Are you through? We need to get through the same time. And so this, the best way to deal with problems, I had a preacher tell me one night, he said, I got this going on, I got that going on, I got this going on, I got that going on. He said, what's my answer? I said, there's not one answer for four problems, but there's four answers. Every problem has an answer. Let's take them down. Let's break them down one step at a time. Just like if you were to get ready to leave here and go to California. If you called ahead and found out where there's a red light stop sign and you found out how many cities was in the construction, how many interstate highways under construction, you'd sit down and said, we can't make the trip. You can too. What you do is you start out and you go through one stop sign at a time. You go through one light at a time. You come through one construction zone at a time, and then you get through it. If you're going through something right now, you say, I'm overwhelmed. Let me tell you, if you'll just walk through one, quit looking all of it together. Break it down. God will get you through one valley at a time, one mountain at a time. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Praise God. And that's how you do it. When you're standing on a street corner, on the side of a street corner, if you're in a busy community where there's about, I've been downtown New York, there was about 200 people on the other corner. I said, I got to get to the other corner. How am I going to get through all those people? They're all plugged in, have things in their ears like that, you know. They're weird. Everybody's weird. They walk around with these things stuck in their ears all the time. And I realized what you do is you walk through there, you pass one person at a time, zigzag, cross step, and you cross one step at a time. Then finally, you lift your foot up, you step up on the curve, you look back, and there's another crowd all the way behind you. You get through life like that, one step at a time, one problem at a time. If you're new in God, you said, I'm facing some difficulties. Your answer is not to throw in the towel and quit. You ain't got to do anything special to be a quitter. It don't take a lot of energy to be a quitter. It takes a lot of strength to stand up and say, I can face one problem at a time. There's so many devils against me. I don't know how many devils it ever gets against us. We're always cognizant of the devil. Some churches, they're always recognizing the devil in every service. I've been to preachers. They said, you know, the devil was in that place tonight. No, no, he's not. God was. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. The devil can move with speed, but he can't be everywhere. And he said, I think the devil's in my church every week. I said, I'm glad. If he's in your church every week, he's not ever in mine. I'm happy about that. Praise God. And if you make him feel comfortable, he'll hang around there. Amen. Nobody wants to say amen now, and I knock it all out. Now, when you realize that, hey, I can meet needs, I can do something. I'm put in this church, I'm on this place for something more than having everybody focus on me. I'm not the center of attraction, I'm not the center of attention. I'm here to do my part, stand up to the plate. If you'll throw the ball three times, I might can hit it. I might knock it out of the park. If you'll give me a shot at the plate, I might can do it. But the fact is this, I can meet a need. I can say to my child, you can make it. I'm going to help you through this. You're going to live for God. You're going to do it. If they fail, what do? You say, we've all failed. You don't glorify. You don't glamorize failure. What you do is say, we can get up. We can do it. Some of God's greatest people goofed up. David was a goof up. Peter was a goof up. Amen. Paul couldn't always live. The Bible said if they smite you, turn your cheek. Paul got smitten on his cheek. He didn't turn a cheek. He said, you whited sepulcher. What made you take a shot at me like that? Some of the best people in the apostolic church of the early days had some flaws in them. And you're going to have flaws in you. But the fact is, you're in a church that helps you address your needs. When you come to church, you got to focus on God, not focus on your need. The woman with the issue of blood didn't say, I've got an issue of blood. Everybody shut down everything. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. You walk in here and focus not on your sickness, not on your problem, but your focus on Jesus. Let's all stand. I've said enough for one night. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, if I've said anything to help you, I'm happy. If I haven't, I did my best. I'm getting a little tired here. So this, my singers, y'all got to double clutch it. Drop it down a gear and pull it up a hill. Come on. Come on, girl. You got a big smile now. Let's go. All right. I want everybody out here that's watching me correct them and get on to them. You enjoying that? It's your turn now. I want you to start moving. Get to this altar right now. Hurry. Real quick. God, give me that sensitiveness to your spirit. The next time somebody comes up to me, if there's a need burning in their soul, give me that ability to say the right word, to pray the prayer, to have the faith for them. Nobody should make a journey through difficulty by themselves. Nobody should. Really, they shouldn't. Nobody should face hell by themselves. They shouldn't do it. Let's pray right now. Raise your voice. I want to hear you pray. Talk to Jesus. Let's sing. Praise God. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Yes.